Greetings, radio friends. We count it a happy privilege to bring the claims of Christ to your attention. Those who have been saved by his matchless grace desire to share these wonderful blessings with others. Our blessed Savior has commissioned us to proclaim the good news of his salvation to all the world. As you listen to this gospel program, I trust that the messages in song and from God's precious word will be a blessing to you. This is Welcome Detweiler speaking and asking you to listen prayerfully. Become in general a world of listeners. The introduction of the telephone into our business and family lives was a great avenue for linking people together. But since the coming of radio as a means of amusement, education, and interest, the number of listeners have increased by millions, and so many are obviously very enthusiastic about their favorite programs. They are good listeners. When we consider the different avenues of interest, there is not one part of our normal lives upon which we may not hear someone talking with the great hope that we shall be attentive and appreciative. Then, if we reflect that the speakers are just mortal men and women, it is amazing that so much confidence is placed in what they say. In the realm of eternal truth, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ are of permanent value, everlasting value. It is all the more remarkable that so few are willing to listen to what he has said and has still to say. To a world of people that are in sin, he desires to speak and to bless. Christ's words are full of seriousness, truth, and peace. Should we not become earnest listeners to his words? All his utterances are pure, whereas the words of men are very often impure and frequently disgustingly so. The entrance of his words bring light to the mind, soul, and spirit. The words of mere man are not really worth the great attention given to them, and by their changeableness from day to day, they lose their value altogether. But the words of God, as recorded in the Bible, and the voice of God speaking to the conscience, bring everlasting forgiveness, life, and peace to all who hear and believe them. In Jerusalem, Jesus said something very important on this great subject of listening. It was this: He that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. To listen to the voice of Jesus is of the highest importance and urgency. By believing his way of salvation, exercising faith in his atoning death on the cross of Calvary, you can enjoy the possession of a present and eternal salvation. Amen. ago, 4 men were killed and several were injured when a big airliner plane crashed near Washington due to fog and inability to locate the landing field. Just before the end, one of the men remarked, "Well, boys, I'll meet you in hell." He was killed instantly, laughing at tragedy, mocking at hell. What dreadful words! What blindness! What folly! One would hardly believe that anyone could use such words, especially in the midst of imminent danger. There can be only one answer to this. The man apparently did not believe in hell. But he is not the only one. There are many on earth today who are laughing at hell, and in their imagination, they have voted the place out of existence. The most successful way of reasoning hell out of existence is a very common statement coined by the devil. The statement is, "I don't believe a loving God would punish a soul in hell. He is too good, too loving, too kind, too gracious." Such and other like statements come from people who are somewhat ignorant of the character of God, because in the Bible, the Scriptures bring before us a balanced record of His love and of His justice. Is it not strange that you can find no one who tries to deny a heaven but believes in a hell? But you will find a large group of rather unintelligent people who believe an imaginary God who has heaven for everybody and no hell. Such people are exactly as the uncivilized heathen. The heathen worships the God he has made with his own hands. He can make him as tall as he wants him. He can make him any color, hard material or soft material. He can make him just as strict as he wants him. If he wants to make him all love and no justice, or all justice and no love, just any old way to suit himself. And such is the idol God who is based upon imagination. Of all the varied reasons I have heard, I have yet to hear the first one that does not come in the class of unsound reasoning. Not only do I believe in hell, but I am not ashamed to preach it. And in case every other public speaker begins to soft-pedal this truth, I shall count it a divine duty to stand alone and warn guilty sinners of this permanent place of punishment for every Christ neglecter simply because it's in my Bible. I have no difficulty in understanding how a loving God can punish a soul in hell forever. If Christ had never come into the world to deliver sinners from hell, I would have some difficulty. If he had never died on the cross as a sinner's substitute, if his death were not sufficient to open the doors of heaven, then I would never be able to understand the character of God in creating men, allowing them to sin, and then punishing them forever. But since Christ has come and died to save all who will put their trust in him, he has made it possible that hell should be empty forever and heaven full. The only soul who will ever be in hell is the one who refuses God's offer of salvation. Is it not strange that men and women would rather keep their Bible closed and believe in an imaginary God who condones all sin, has no laws, no justice, no righteousness, a cheap Santa Claus of a God who has no backbone? It was never God's intention to find pleasure in punishing souls, for according to Matthew chapter 25, hell was prepared not for humans, but for the devil and his angels. It is not his will that any should perish. That's why he went to such pains to provide a Savior who could keep every soul from going to hell. If I'm speaking to someone who has been trying to entertain the thought that a loving God can't punish the willful rejecter of Christ, for your soul's sake, don't remain in such total ignorance. Take the same Bible you use to prove that God is loving, and read it all the way through, and you will get a full picture of the character of God, a perfect blending of His love and of His justice. A lady in Massachusetts inserted an ad in the newspaper about her baby carriage which she had for sale. But the paper carelessly left out the word carriage. So the advertisement read as follows: "For sale, practically brand new baby." And as a result, the lady was kept busy nearly all day long saying no
to would-be parents. The omission of one word in the ad made all the difference. Take the word hell out of the Bible, and no one can explain the character of God. He is only imaginary, as the heathen idol. If you are guilty of trying to remove a word or words from the Bible just because you don't like them, listen to the warning of Revelation 22:19. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. How can one stoop so low as to suggest that some of the Bible is true and the rest is not? The teachings of Jesus are acclaimed the greatest in history, and no one ever preached and believed in hell any more than he. If there is no hell, Christ was a liar, for he said there is. There are many more pleasant subjects in the Bible to speak about, but this one cannot be ignored. Christ did not ignore it. He spoke often, and most of the details that we have concerning this place of punishment came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we believe that he was honest, if we believe he told the truth, then we must believe all of the facts that he gave concerning that wonderful place called heaven, and we must believe all that he said concerning the place of punishment for those who will not receive him as Lord and Savior. Please remember that no man need go to hell. Ample and infinite provision has been made for his deliverance, and only the continued rejection of Christ will land him in hell. If you charge God with sending men to hell, when God is doing all that he can through 1,000 agencies to keep you out of hell, if you persist in rebellion, willful neglect, stubbornness, unbelief, and hatred of God and the Bible, then remember, you willfully send yourself to hell, and God is not to blame. If you should perish in a lost eternity, it will not be because God didn't provide salvation for you. It will not be because you were not warned, but because you did not heed the warning. Come, O my soul, thy certain ruin trace. If thou refuse the Savior's proffered grace, infinite years of torture thou must spend, which never, never, never have an end.
The pleasures of life are o'er, and you shall stand face to the shore of the dim land of the evermore. Careless soul, what then? Careless soul, what then? Pleasures of life are o'er. Careless soul, what then? After the trumpet's awful blast, after the judgment shall be passed, when you have come to your doom at last, poor lost soul, what then? Poor lost soul, what then? Poor lost soul, what then? Have come to your doom at last. Poor lost soul, what then?